Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney. I'm not with the government, but I am here to help.
Doug, welcome to the studio. I'm thrilled you're here. As you know,
awesome.
We're trying to reach Alan Keyes. We'll see if later in the program we could get to him.
Trying to reach Alan Keyes. Also trying to reach $20,000 for the telethon goal.
Our annual telethon to keep Bob Enyart live on the internet for another year. And all that that entails, including staff and overhead and software and hardware and all that.
All that.
And bandwidth.
Right.
And
no government grants, right? You're not operating on any government grants.
We're not.
Although you've applied.
We have.
No, you applied for stimulus.
TARP funds. Money.
Yes, TARP money.
TARP funds. We asked for only $1 billion.
Yeah, well, we might not hear back
we
for
actually
a while
filled
on that.
Out the official U.S. Treasury
yeah.
application.
Yeah. But, you know, with bureaucracy, that could be a few years out, so we need folks to step up now.
And, Doug, your justification for why you were asking for the money was limited to one page.
$1 billion.
On the form. But they said, but if you do need more space, you can attach one additional piece of paper.
Really?
And they wanted either the president or someone else to sign it.
The president or someone else.
So we had a maintenance guy sign ours because he was someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were turned down.
So so that's officially not happening. Well,
yeah,
that
we're not getting that.
That really. Even puts more pressure on us this month to get the telethon to meet the goal of $20,000.
Yeah.
If you could spare $100, mm-hmm. if you'd like to get the Mount Moriah video, get the plot.
Mm.
We'll give you two plots for $100, right?
Yeah, yesterday we talked about eight of our DVDs that are just so much fun. Mount Moriah and the Resurrection, God and the Death Penalty, debating an entire philosophy class, Get Out of the Matrix,
yeah.
Bible Tour of Israel, Live from Las Vegas, Does God Exist, Eagle Eggs.
Every one of them. I've seen every one of them.
And they're fun.
Couldn't recommend them any higher. Mount Moriah literally changed my life.
Oh, wow.
It made me realize that the Bible is not nearly as cryptic as people think it is.
Oh, yeah.
If you just take the time to read it and look at the world around you. Awesome.
Evidence for the Resurrection. These resources help us stay on the air. Not only do people enjoy them, sometimes they're laugh-out-loud funny.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know liberals would be laughing at us,
yeah.
but it's fun to study God's Word and the world around us. It's entertaining, and boy, does it help improve your life, your
Amen.
Family, your church,
yeah.
your nation. So solid biblical teaching to the best we're able with God's help. And then also, Doug, Alan Keyes, because, well, he's going to be speaking at Colorado Right to Life's banquet a week from Saturday.
That's coming right up, Saturday, September 17th.
It is. And, you know, he campaigned against Tom Tancredo.
I remember that.
Right?
I was torn.
And Tom and Alan Keyes are coming together.
Yeah.
For one night to help Colorado in its round three launch for the personhood of the unborn child.
Here we go.
This is really exciting. And these two guys, along with Kevin Swanson, who's one of my heroes.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be a great night. We're doing our telethon for Bob Enyart Live. But, Doug, how could we not encourage people to go to the Colorado Right to Life banquet?
Of course. I'll be there. You'll be there.
I'll be there.
Everyone who is anyone will be
and
there.
I'm filling up a table, and if people want to sit at my table, what an honor it will be for me to have people join me. It's $100 a seat because Colorado Right to Life needs money.
Yes.
They need money.
Planned Parenthood is pretty well funded.
Right. The battle for the unborn child requires money.
Yeah.
Everyone at Colorado Right to Life works as a volunteer, and for many of them, it's 20, 30, 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
It's a battle.
So please encourage them, because these things are an encouragement to others.
But if you fill up your table, Bob, if you have some spillover, I have some seats at my table still available.
You do.
Although I have booked your producer at my table.
Oh, Russ Holmes?
Yeah.
Russ is sitting at your table?
He's got a seat at my table.
All right, that's great. So we'll see if we can get Alan Keyes. I don't know that we can. He's a busy guy, former ambassador appointed by Ronald Reagan, and he ran against Barack Obama.
Yes, he did, for the Illinois Senate seat.
Yes, he looked into the face of hell itself.
Yeah, wow.
And survived. And the wisdom that you get, the insights that you get when you campaign against Barack Obama is something also that Alan Keyes will be bringing to his talk. He is the featured speaker Saturday night, September 17th, at the Renaissance in Denver at 38th and Quebec. And Tom Tancredo is the MC.
Yeah.
Kevin Swanson will be speaking at the beginning and the end of the night.
And folks can go to coloradorighttolife.org to get the information. Yeah. They could give us a call here. We'd be willing to part with that information, send that off to them.
Yeah, that's right.
So Alan Keyes, wow, the man who was sounding the alarm about Barack Obama before it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ahead of the curve.
That's right. Before most of us had ever heard of Barack Obama.
Didn't even know who the guy was. Right. But Alan Keyes.
He was a community organizer.
Looked into the face of hell. Wow.
Yeah, with Acorn.
Yeah.
So, Doug, right before the show started, I heard that you were talking to a gal from the East Coast who called in, and she wants to help us with the telethon and order some materials.
She ordered some materials and then insisted that we charge her credit card more than the face value of the materials because she wanted to donate for the telethon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, lovely lady.
That's
Brenda
humbling.
From West Virginia.
What did she order?
She ordered the Train Up a Child package, which includes the book.
The book, Train Up a Child.
And the audio.
The audio CD. Audio CD of a sermon called Tyrant Dad.
Yeah. And merely $19.99. Now, when she asked me how much it was, I thought it had to be at least $30. Mm. But you're practically giving it away, $19.99. There's another book and a sermon and other instructions that I've heard from you that literally changed my life.
Oh.
Because we read it before we had any kids.
And what a blessing.
Oh,
that,
it's an incredible blessing.
Doug, your children are such a joy to be around. Our children, our three youngest boys, are gone on a 2-week road trip with grandma and pops.
Oh.
And, you know, I have heard so many people, I've heard them tell me they can't take being with their grandkids because they're so badly behaved.
Yeah. I witness it every day, yeah.
And, Doug, we are so thrilled that Grandma Connie and Pops, Al Sharon, they want the grandkids with them because it's such a blessing. And our nation has lost the blessing of grandchildren because of the curse of liberalism and the lie that disciplining your child is not good, that spanking is not good.
Mm.
When, of course, God's word tells us that spanking is good. And kids who are spanked, they love their parents. They respect their parents. You teach them self-control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, you try to trick them, cajole them.
Yeah, yeah. Reason with them. All of that.
Manipulate them.
You know, a properly trained and disciplined child is an incredible blessing and a beacon to the lost world because the people in my neighborhood, they know that my kids are different.
Yeah.
They know. My kids stand out.
Yeah, and I remember I was on WABC Radio New York City with Sean Hannity on his radio show.
Oh.
And he was upset with me because I spanked my kids. Now, how Sean Hannity found out, I'll never know. But he was upset with me because I gave him 5 swats on the backside. I said, but Sean, my kids, they're respectful. They obey. And he said, they're probably afraid of you.
Sure.
So I said, well, Nathaniel, could you come here and talk to Sean Hannity? And Nathaniel at the time, I think he was 13, maybe 12.
Yeah.
And he said, sure, Sean Hannity, sure. And he picks up the phone, and he talked on the air for, I don't know, almost 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And he's not afraid of his father.
No.
He loves and our three youngest kids who are still at home, we have such a wonderful relationship like you guys do, Doug.
You know, I think too many liberals, Sean Hannity included, tend to think that parents who spank, that's all we do is spank.
Oh,
but that's spanking is just one small part of the overall training and discipline.
I don't want to say this because I know I could be a bad influence on people listening.
Yeah.
But I haven't spanked our kids in a couple years.
Yeah. That's the way it should be. But how old are your kids now?
They're 10, 11, and 13, the three youngest ones.
Yeah, they should be.
Now, I spanked the 24-year-old just a few days ago. But the youngest ones, and Doug, there was a time where some of them, you know, here and there, would get a spanking once or twice a week, once a day.
Oh, yeah. Well, you go through those.
For a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spanking with love and thoughtfulness and not in anger.
Right.
And reading a book like Train Up a Child with the DVD, Tyrant Dad.
Yep.
Because the more immoral the culture becomes, the more tyrannical a good dad appears.
Right, right, right. So that's a bit tongue-in-cheek, the title.
Yeah,
Tyrant Dad. But, so she ordered the lovely Brenda from West Virginia, which I don't think that qualifies as the East Coast. Does West Virginia have a coast?
Oh, no.
It had a coast when it was part of Virginia, but I think they took it away.
All right.
But Brenda from West Virginia, she also ordered Mount Moriah.
Oh, wow. Cool. The DVD.
I've just got to say, Bob, it was seeing that DVD that put the that put the idea in my mind that I really needed to make it over to Israel.
Oh.
And I had an opportunity after I'd seen Mount Moriah to go to Israel. And some of the sites that you talk about in that video were so incredibly moving to experience personally after now understanding the biblical context of everything that was going on.
Now,
a lot of the tourist sites we passed up, and we went to a lot of the sites that you talked about in this video, and our tour guide was like, those aren't the most popular sites.
Yeah,
we were
right.
But we kind of want to go here.
Let's
and
do this.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And
tremendous.
Then, Doug, also a Bible Tour of Israel DVD we have, studying the Bible on location.
Right.
With Bob and Yurt Live. It's
right
so much
there on
fun.
The ground in Israel.
And there's so much to learn, and it affirms your faith. And if you're an unbeliever, if you're not a Christian, you're listening to this on the radio or downloaded from kgov.com, and if you ask, we will send you Mount Moriah for free as a gift because you are worth it, because you're worth it. And there is a world filled with evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ and a Bible filled with evidence, including prophecies written centuries before the Lord came.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament, written in Hebrew, was translated into Greek 200 years before Jesus was born in the Septuagint.
Right.
So these prophecies before the fact are fulfilled in Jesus Christ.
Awesome video.
Yeah.
Brenda made
really
some good
fun.
Choices there. She brought up a topic. She said, there's a topic that's on my mind. Is this something that Bob could either write something up on or cover it on his show? And she wanted to know if you had anything regarding the arguments for and against marijuana.
Oh.
Now, I asked her, I said, do you mean like just smoking it or legalizing it or what? Hmm. She said, all of the above. I need help because her son used to be a heavy-duty drug addict, did the hard stuff,
mm-hmm.
and now insists that now he's only smoking pot and he needs it, and it's medicine and all that. So it's something she'd like to see addressed. And
why don't we plan on doing that?
Since Colorado's becoming the number one pothead state in the country.
Yeah,
we're becoming known as the pothead state.
Did you see the news just out from the state police that at their checkpoints they've seen a significant increase of people who are under the influence who are on cocaine and marijuana?
Mm.
And of course, you would expect that now that you can get marijuana, it's been decriminalized, that whole process.
You go to a storefront here in Denver and just buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to get your card. You know, you have to have a pain in your neck or knee or any of the above.
Yeah. You self-diagnose.
There's not an extensive medical examination, but there is some regulation.
Yeah. So I think we should talk about that because that is an issue that's being dealt with now also in every church in Colorado.
Well, now that it's legal, kind of changes the argument,
and
right?
That's what, you know, people say that. They say that about abortion. They say, but it's legal.
Yes, they do.
And, of course, that's not the relevant question as to whether it's right or wrong.
No, certainly not. Legality quite often doesn't jive with right and wrong.
Right.
You know, that's one of the lessons I've taught my children. And actually, I'll ask your advice if maybe I'm going too far. I tell them that some things are illegal and some things are immoral. Hmm. Don't do things that are immoral. Hmm. But there are some things that are illegal that might be okay to do.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right.
And there
right.
are some things that are legal that are grossly immoral and you should not do them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Bible speaks of those who call evil good and good evil. And tragically, that's become increasingly the norm in our society, including from our government.
Yeah.
So.
And the law matters, right? It's the teacher.
Yeah.
It's something you learn about in your earliest formative years. What is the law?
Yeah.
And so it's just gotten all messed
up. All right. So let's plan to do a show on marijuana.
Yeah, we should have definitely. Oh, speaking of marijuana, have you seen this story? I just saw this headline before we went on the air. Nearly 40% of Europeans suffer from mental illness.
Wait a minute. Are you saying this is a related story?
Well, I'm hazarding a guess that there could be a connection.
I don't know. Well, let me pull that up because now with the internet, you can see any story within a second.
Right. This was over off the Reuters wire.
It's at Reuters. All right. I got it right here. 165 million people. Now, I don't know what percentage of Europe smokes pot.
Wow.
I don't know. And I think as you go further north, the percentage increases.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Once you get in those Scandinavian countries, you can smell it. Like, the border crossing is really bad over there. I'll bet you Europe is similar to Boulder, Colorado
in
its percentage of potheads.
Right.
That's my guess.
You can't swing a dead cat in Boulder
without knocking over some stone teenager or grandfather.
Yeah, that is sad. 165 million people in Europe are said to be mentally ill with disorders like depression, anxiety, insomnia, and dementia.
Wow.
And, you know, mental illness, there is a crisis in our society because when you don't know right from wrong, that creates stress. And you think, well, why should there be things wrong in my life? I'm doing everything fine. Maybe you're shacking up. Maybe you're stealing from your boss even. Maybe you're whatever. You're advocating things that are immoral.
Maybe you're addicted to pornography, like a good percentage of
you. Yeah, maybe you're addicted to pot or
whatever. Right, whatever it is.
And you think you're approved by everyone around you. You're shacking up with your girlfriend. Mm. But there's something sort of sick in your gut. There's something sick.
Yeah.
And you think, well, it shouldn't be there. So you just try to ignore it. But eventually, these disconnects, a disconnect from your life's practice with reality, with the truth, they produce stress. And you bury that stress. And it surfaces in physical ailments.
Right.
Even, you know, even heart disease stress over long term,
right,
and in mental illness. So some mental illness is actually some kind of physiological problem, and others are because of sin and a worldview that is upside down. Imagine if every time you went out of your house, you were upside down, literally.
Wow.
So when you got in your car, they strapped your body to the roof of your car, and your head was over your windshield, and you were looking upside down, eventually you'd get sick.
Yeah, that would start to put some stress on your brain, on your, on your soul, on your
body. They carried you into work upside down with your head down by people's feet. So when you have an upside down worldview, eventually it's sickening. And it does lead to depression and anxiety and all the problems that come with those.
Wow. So the spiritual laws that God wrote into the universe, there's spiritual laws. You know, there's physical laws like gravity. Spiritual laws, too.
Yeah.
No, no matter what we legalize or no matter what we justify in our own mind, we cannot get out from underneath the spiritual laws that regulate the universe. This idea that just because it's legal and everyone around you tells you it's good, eventually, you're going to have to come face to face with reality.
Yeah. And in Europe, they have similar problems with people with backache. Like millions of people with backache that's so debilitating that they're on unemployment disability benefits.
Oh, yeah. It's just sad.
Millions.
Yeah.
So when the government is not run by people who know right from wrong, they tend to exacerbate the problems. So you end up with more unemployed.
Right. And well, to me, it's almost like back in the old South with the plantations. The more welfare recipients the governing officials can get on the plantation, the more guaranteed votes. And so they're not motivated by by a desire to do right or do good. They're motivated by self-preservation, politically, purely political.
All right, Doug, I see
it's
you
driving people crazy. Apparently, it's driving people
in
nuts.
In Europe, 40%. That's 2 out of 5.
Yeah, no kid. Wow, that's
two
scary
out of
to
five people. Are not crazy, but
well,
on the way toward.
I'm embellishing a little bit, but it's literally driving this. It's driving society insane.
I've got a news story, and then you have a news story.
I've got a feel-good story of the week.
I've got a Washington Times article that mentions one of Colorado Right to Life's favorite phrases in order to expose what's wrong in our country. But then you've got a story, and our telethon, please, if you can give $200 perhaps, $50.
Yes.
If you could subscribe to a monthly Bible study or pledge $20 a month, we need your support. We truly need your support.
If you appreciate the program, if it really means something to you, step up to the plate and help us stay on the air.
Yeah, you could call us 1-800-8-NYARDS, or you could go online to KGOV, KGOV.com, click on the store. You could donate, subscribe, or help out. All right, Doug, the Washington Times has an article on abortion.
Okay.
It's written by Steve Dace, syndicated talk show host.
I know I've heard that name.
And it says in here, it's talking about a Texas abortion regulation.
Yeah.
And it says that it ends with the words, and then you can kill the baby.
Those words appeared in the Washington Times.
Washington Times
yesterday. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
That is good, right? Because Colorado Right to Life began in the year 2007, showing people that you know a law is a bad law if it ends with, and then you could kill the baby, as all the abortion regulations do.
They do.
Whenever you regulate something, you reaffirm it. You lend it additional respectability. You further entrench it.
Yeah.
Like if you were to regulate sexual crimes,
yeah,
that would be a bad idea. Somebody might say, yeah, but it'll decrease them. It doesn't matter.
No.
You don't regulate something that's inherently criminal.
Seems very logical.
So that's real exciting. That's in the Washington Times.
Way to go, Steve.
By Steve Dace yesterday. Just go to WashingtonTimes.com and search for, and then you could kill the baby.
Wow.
All right. So, Doug, your turn.
Feel good story of the week is from Sweden, from Skanskan, Sweden.
Skanskan.
Yeah. A woman answered her door, and a man forced his way through the door and began assaulting her, attempting to force himself on her.
Oh, this does not sound like a good story.
Well, he apparently grabbed her and attempted to kiss her on the mouth, at which point she bit off his tongue.
Wow!
She bit off his tongue.
Wow, good for her!
And
that is so great!
Anyway, the man fled. As you can well imagine, he fled. And according to the woman, the man is 35 to 40 years old with short black hair, brown eyes, and ugly teeth.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The description.
Hey, you know, the victim mentality that goes these days for wisdom would tell a woman that do whatever he tells you.
Yeah.
That's what pilots used to do with hijackers.
Oh, yeah.
Do whatever they
right.
tell you. That was our federal policy.
Yeah, before 9/11.
And so, no, you never allow a criminal to bring you to a second crime scene. You never permit a second crime scene. You don't do what the criminal tells you to do. If he has a gun, he says, get in my car, you don't do it.
No.
You scream, you yell, you defecate, you bite, you scratch, you do anything and everything you can to stop him from doing what he wants to be done.
All right. Now, that's good advice.
I think so.
That's solid advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so there's our feel-good story of the week.
Yeah, that is great.
Have to go pretty far and wide to find someone who's willing to stand
up. It's great that she had the courage. You know, you just don't comply with a criminal who's got a knife or a gun or is threatening a sexual assault.
Yeah.
You don't do it.
You have to remember that criminals are generally stupid, and they're generally on the verge of being extremely terrified, and it doesn't take much to scare them off. Mm. It really doesn't.
And you know what? There is a possibility, of course, that you might get killed.
Well, yes.
Of course.
Yes.
If someone, say you're a dad and somebody shows up in your home with a gun, and if your reaction is, I'm afraid, I'm going to do what he tells me, every moment that goes by improves his standing.
Mm.
So if you immediately rushed him and he might shoot and kill you,
he might.
But that may not have been his plan.
Right.
And so maybe the neighbor's here, and you might be dead, but you may have saved your family.
Right, right.
So you don't let fear be the determining factor in dealing with an attack.
Yeah, don't be a liberal. Conservatives fight back.
Don't have a victim mentality.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Good advice.
So, Doug, the banquet, you know, we do this every year, and we've thought about it, and we know it. The Bob Inert Live Telethon to keep us on the internet is in September.
It's always in the same month as the banquet.
The Colorado Right to Life banquet is in the same month. So to be reasonable, we would only talk about the telethon because of how vital it is for us to survive
financially. And that's no exaggeration. No exaggeration. It's vital.
It's
vital. If you can write a check for $100, if you can call in a credit card donation of $500, if you can go to KGOV.com, you can click to donate there. If you could donate $1,000, we need you to do it today.
It's vital.
Absolutely.
But Colorado Right to Life and their leadership role in fighting for the personhood of the unborn child, how do we balance those? How do we say, well, our telethon is more important, so we're not going to take time out of each show in the 2 weeks running up to promote the banquet because we only have like 27 and a half minutes or something.
Right.
But we just can't because Colorado is leading the battle to uphold the God-given right to life of the unborn child.
That's right. The modern-day personhood movement started right here in Colorado, Right to Life being at the forefront of it.
Right here in Colorado. And it is crucial that we encourage the leaders of Colorado Right to Life. They just have to be encouraged. Yeah. Like Moses is fighting, and as long as his hands are up to the Lord,
yeah,
the Israelites are winning, but it's hard and it's tiring. And so Aaron has to come along and help hold up Moses' arms.
Right.
Where's Joshua? Where's Caleb? We need to encourage one another. We need to encourage the leaders. So Leslie Hanks over at Colorado Right to Life,
mm-hmm,
Donna Ballantyne, the whole team, Lolita Hanks,
yeah,
no relationship unless you go back to Noah.
Yeah. and they are sisters in the Lord.
Daryl Berkey, they need the revenue to prepare the battleground for round three, and they need the support and the encouragement of Christians around them.
Yeah.
They need it.
Round three. Boy, the Lord is really patient. He really is.
Yeah.
The fact that he is going to give Coloradans the honor of having yet one more opportunity.
One more. To recognize and uphold the God-given right to life, the personhood of the unborn child. You know, today in the news, we've got the Republicans in the Republican presidential event with Mitt Romney being asked explicitly about the 14th Amendment, where it says that every state shall not deprive anyone of life,
liberty,
or due process.
Yeah, due process. There we go.
It's a requirement. So Romney was asked, would you recommend using the authority in the 14th Amendment to protect unborn children? And Romney said, no, I think it's a state's matter.
That sounds very Romney-esque.
It does, right? Ron Paul has taught supposed pro-life leaders how to have no leadership and how to punt.
Yeah, they basically punt on the question. They avoid the issue, the most fundamental issue.
Yeah, how to pass the buck. So everybody running for governor and mayor, they all say, oh, abortion is a federal matter. It's the federal Supreme Court, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody running for president now is saying, oh, it's a state matter. Yeah. So they all pass the buck.
That's pretty convenient in a world turned upside down.
It's literally cowardice.
Yeah, upside down.
Right. So Ron Paul and the whole states' rights moral relativism has given a new way out to leaders who are fraudulent in their supposed commitment to the unborn child.
And the leader who steps up and doesn't avoid the question might just find that it redounds to their benefit more than they might expect.
Yeah.
I really pray that that's true.
That's right. We're waiting for any of the Republican candidates to endorse federal or state personhood amendments.
Yeah.
And that might be coming soon, Doug. We'll see.
We'll pray about that.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you guys out there, especially for helping with the banquet and our telethon. May God bless you. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you'd like to hear more, then you could subscribe to our Bob Enyart Live Bible Studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible Studies, you get an entire MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. To subscribe, please call 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe online at kgov.com. So check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Enyart Live.